Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So, if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to info@morelifechurch.com. Now, enjoy today's message.
That's awesome. Anybody glad to be in God's house? Yeah, all right. I'm glad that you guys are here. Today is going to be an awesome day. We are starting a brand new message series called More Than Bricks and Sticks, Building Life. And over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to talk to you about believing God and sacrificing, what it means to surrender. And so it's going to be an awesome, awesome growth opportunity. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are going to grow a bunch in the next few weeks. Go ahead and tell them something like that. Turn to somebody else and say, thank God, because they need it. They really need it. Go ahead and tell them. If you're a guest with us, certainly glad that you're here. There's a card in the seat pocket of the chair in front of you. Later, one of our pastors are going to walk you through how to respond to that. But if you want to go ahead and fill it out and turn it in, he'll tell you when at the end of the service. Let me just kind of be transparent with you. This is my first time walking a church family through a process like this in this way. Certainly, we've done one other building project before, and it was done 85% volunteer labor. We transformed this old schoolhouse into a pretty new church house, and I think we did pretty well. And you can see pretty easily that after several services on the weekends, that we have a need for more space. And it seems like every other week, someone tells me, "Hey, Josh, somebody came to the second service. Somebody came to the 10:30, and they left. They came in the building and they left because there was no seat for them. Isn't that a bummer?" That's a bummer, I think. And I don't know about you, but I think it's pretty gracious that, honestly, I try to put myself in that family's position. When Ange and I first started MLC, we had four small children. They were 6, 6, 4, and 3. And let me tell you something. If I got my butt up and got their butts ready and got to a house and there was no seat, I would be flat out ticked off. I'm just being real with you. And I would be the preacher in that situation. You know what I'm saying? That would tick me off. I'd be like, I'm gone. I'm going to Bob Evans. I'm going to IHOP. I'm doing something else. And forget those people. Now, I know because of how incredible our church family is, people are so kind and gracious and give us second chances. How many are thankful for the God of the second chance and the third chance and the 70,000th chance? I mean, all the chances we need, he gives them. You know, I know people praise God for the God of the second chance, but I'm a guy that I need more than two chances sometimes at stuff. Anybody with me on that? Like, I'm not the slowest of learners, but sometimes I need more than a couple cracks at it. And so this happens, and here's the point. Here's the point. It needs to stop. We need to be able to be having a good plan in place so that when people come, we have space for them. Can somebody say amen to that? I think that's just what we need to do. And so to move forward, we have a need. And here's the vision behind the need. And then I'm going to share some thoughts about how you can begin this spiritual journey. Two prayers that you can pray to get out what's in your heart. And so the vision for the project is really this. The vision for the project is to build a facility that will at least double the current occupancy of both our children and our adults. Actually, hopefully more than double our occupancy for our adults. And so we're looking at building a facility. It'll be on this property. Expanding this room. I see us having a whole new building built, another facility that has connective tissue that lets us kind of repurpose some of the space here and increase the space for our children. So we're hoping to seat between 400 and 500 adults and be able to accommodate between 150 and 200 students per service. And let me just say this. I say per service because I don't really ever see us as a single service time church. I see us as a multiple service church. So I say that so that you can see and know where we're going, that if you feel like in your mind the expectation is, oh, I can't wait until we finish this, then we can all be together. And then you'll be here and you'll be disappointed because we'll be in multiple services when that thing kicks off. And it's gonna be awesome. And why would we do that? Because the goal is not to fill a room. The goal is to fill heaven. The goal is to reach this region and influence this region for Christ. That's always been the goal. And let me ask a question. Do y'all know people who need Jesus? How many know somebody who needs Jesus? How many are sitting next to that person right now, elbow them and say, you need Jesus? No, I'm just kidding. You might, then that's awesome. But this church, our church family, has been born out of a desire to reach people for the cause of Christ. And this facility is just a tool. It's just a resource by which we can do that. See, really and simply, guys, this is about a spiritual journey for us to be able to seek God and find out what it means to follow Him more completely. Here's the need. Let me tell you the need. The need to get us rolling. We are believing over the next 3 years for $500,000 to come in over and above our regular tithes to help us in two phases of this project. Phase number one, help us with site prep, facility prep, and down payment for the construction note. That phase will cost us around $350,000. That's the first step that we need. Anything over and above that, as we hit the goal of $500,000, those resources will be used for debt service and debt elimination, helping make the mortgage payment and get that debt load way, way down. On May 1st, it's going to be your first opportunity to make a commitment and give an offering toward the building campaign of Building Life. On May 1st, we have one simple goal: to receive $75,000 in one offering that weekend to help get us a jump start on all of the fees and all of the things that we need to do to make this thing real life. Somebody was going to ask, sure, Josh, when are we going to break ground? As soon as $350,000 comes in. So if you have $350,000, we can break ground in probably the next few months, and we will receive that. But anything, and here's the point that I've said that on purpose, because it isn't about one person doing one big thing. It's about each person doing the thing that God has put in their heart. In other words, we're not looking for equal gifts. We're looking for equal sacrifice. We're not going to do a screen up here and divide the need up by the number of people that we have in attendance and say, well, if everybody would just do this, then we can meet the need. That's a fundraiser. That's a transaction. There's no spiritual growth in that. There's no seeking of God in that for any of us. Not to mention that each of us are in different places financially. Isn't that right? And so, one person can make something happen real easy. They would have no sacrifice in that at all. And we need to have equal sacrifice, not equal gifts. I'm asking for maximum 100% participation from our church family, simply asking God, God, what is meaningful sacrifice for me? Make that commitment over the next 3 years and give your first offering toward that commitment on May 1st. And here's what I know. If everybody in this house does their part, we'll meet that goal and we will exceed that goal and we will be well on our way to being able to expand our voice in this community. It's going to be absolutely incredible. My family and I have been talking about sacrifice. And here's what I can promise you. The Pennington household is going to make the most meaningful sacrifice that we've ever made in the history of our family. We're going to do that. We're going to do that together. We're going to talk about it. And I'm asking your family to make the same kind of sacrifice. Whatever's the most significant to you. That's why you'll never receive a call and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, we think you can do X dollar amount. No, we're not going to do that. We're leaving it up to each and every heart to determine what meaningful sacrifice is. And I want you to have that conversation if you're married with your spouse. If you have kids, I want you to have that conversation. If they live in your house, I want you to have that conversation. I want you to ask them, what is meaningful sacrifice to you? Like I did with my son on Friday afternoon, evening, when we left here after talking to some leaders. I talked to Jake and we were in the car on the way home and I said, hey buddy, what do you think meaningful sacrifice is for the Penningtons? See, here's a mistake that I think we can make as parents, leaving our kids out. I don't know about you, but I want my kids involved in this spiritual journey. I want my kids involved in this thinking. I want my kids to know, hey, we planted a seed for a need that we didn't even know was going to exist. We did something for folks we haven't even met yet. We did something for the people who are here. And so we're just making meaningful sacrifices. Sacrifice is an unusual word. Most people don't know what it means to sacrifice, because there's just such abundance for many people. And so I started asking Jake, I said, Jake, what's meaningful sacrifice to you? And he said, well, I don't know, Dad, I've been thinking about it a little bit, and I correct me if I'm wrong, okay, Jake? Correct me if I'm wrong. Just, this is your chance to correct me, okay? It's, you only get one shot at it. Once we get home, it's too late, okay, buddy? So here's basically what he said. He said, well, Dad, you know, you and Mama have talked about, you know, giving us an allowance. And I'm like, how's that leading me to sacrifice, bud? That's what I want to know. He said, well, no, the idea is if you give us, you talked about giving us an allowance, and then that would make us have to decide what's important for us to do rather than just saying yes to every ball game, every lunch that we want, every snack that we want out to eat. Like, if you give us that allowance, then we can make the decision, am I going to use this money to buy my lunch or am I going to pack a lunch? So that's one way we can kind of begin to be a little bit better stewards of our resources. He said, you know, I could pack my lunch instead of buying my lunch. He said, we could go out to eat less often. He said, we could do better at the grocery store and make sure we're getting less snacks and more meals. I found it interesting. Every idea he had revolved around food. Did you see that? So the Pennings are going to be like down 40 pounds in the next 3 weeks. Meaningful sacrifice, you know? But all those ideas were great. And here's why I'm bringing it up. I want it to be a conversation. I want your family to be in this together. In this together, not just one person saying, well, this is what we're going to do, and everybody along the way hates every bit of it. Let's just do this together as a family. Meaningful sacrifice. And so I'm going to tell you how you can get involved at the end, and we're going to give you some materials that will help you get involved. Actually, why don't we do this now? We've made a prayer journal and journey available to you in hard copy, okay? You're going to get this if you want one on the way out. But if you have your smartphone or a phone that gets text messages, would you get your phone out real quick before we get into the message? Let's go ahead and do this now. Get your phone out. Let's do this together. We're making this this exact thing available three ways. You can either have a hard copy of it, you can get on our website and get access to it, or you can send a text to the number 740-281-1181. 740-281-1181, and send just the word prayer. And if you send the word prayer, what will happen is you'll get a couple text messages back in response. You can get in there, sign up, and every day you can get a text alert as to what we as a church are praying that day and during that week. It'll come to you at, you set the time of day. I think I set mine for like 9 a.m. And so you get that at whatever time you set it. And every day you'll be able to walk in the prayer journey with us. It'll have the Bible verse there. It will have the main point, and it will have a sample prayer there for you to pray. And so this is what I mean. I want this to be a spiritual journey, not just a fundraiser or financial transaction. It needs to be more than that. It needs to be more than that. And so we're going to be praying and asking God to know him more, to know his will better, and all those sorts of things. So if you get that, if you have any issues with that, Daniel or can help you figure that out. At the end, I'm going to share a couple other things. But before we do that, I want to share a couple verses of scripture with you. Because I know you came wanting to hear his word, didn't you? Yeah. And so we're going to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and then from John 10. 1 Chronicles 22. I'm going to read verse 7 and then I'm going to read verses 12 through 15. And then I'll pray. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God." Verse 12, "Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding, give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000,000 talents of silver and bronze and iron, beyond measure, for it is so abundant. I have prepared timber and stone also, and you may add to them. Verse 15, moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodsmen and stone cutters and all types of skilled men for every kind of work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, over the next few minutes, we ask you to open your word to us. Help us to understand exactly what it is that you want to say to us in this moment of time as we pursue your will and desire clarity for your will in our hearts and in our lives. And we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, let me hear you shout amen. So here's the background. David has an idea. David has an idea to build a house for the Lord, but he gets word from the Lord that it wasn't going to be his assignment to finish the building of the project. His job was to prepare and help his son build. So he brings in this massive offering. He brings in all of his leaders together, and we're going to see more about that in the weeks to come, how David did this. And they give this incredible start to Solomon. And Solomon has the assignment to get the job done. The thing that's interesting is this. David says, I had it in my mind. The King James says, I had it in my heart to do something. And I want to talk about that because I think many times people get confused about, and I think this is one of the number one questions that I'm faced with as a pastor and church leader. Josh, I really don't know how to hear God's voice. I really don't know if this is God or not. And David says something really, really interesting. David says, I had it in my heart to do something. Here's what I want to help you with. I want to help you to know how to get out what's in your heart. I want you to know how to let what's in your heart out, because really that's what this journey is about. This journey is about each of us identifying what's in our heart for this season of time and letting that come out. Notice that David didn't say, God told me to build a building. Notice David didn't say, God gave me an idea to do this. He said, it was in my heart. It was in my mind. Here's what I found out about God. God is really, really flexible at times with what's in our heart, especially when our heart has been rooted and established in God's word. See, a lot of people wrestle over this. Like, I want to know what God's best is for me. It reminds me, many years ago after I finished Bible school, this one young lady, she came up to me. She was really struggling in her ideas and her thoughts. She's like, Josh, I have this idea, and I don't know if it's just me. And I asked her, I said, well, who else would it be if it wasn't you? You got somebody else living in your brain? She's like, well, no, you know what I mean. I don't know if it's God or if it's just my idea or if it's the devil. Anybody identify with what I'm talking about? And so I said, well, tell me, what are you thinking? And she said, well, I'm thinking about going to Bible school. And I said, well, that's easy to figure out. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you can eliminate one of those three parties right away because the devil ain't ever going to lead you to go to Bible school. She said, well, I don't know if it's me or if it's God. And I said, well, would it be okay with God if you learned more about the Bible and gave up 2 years of your life to do that? She said, yeah. I said, well, then don't overthink it. Just follow what's in your heart. See, as a Christ follower, you can trust what's in your heart. If you're not a Christ follower, you can't so much trust that instinct because it'll lead you astray. But when you give your heart to Christ, your heart, your spirit man is transformed. It's rearranged. And so many people get stuck and stagnant waiting to hear the voice of God when all the while, really the goal is to hear you better in you. And maybe what's better to say is hear God in you. Here's what I found about God's voice. God's voice sounds a whole lot like mine. And it'll sound a whole lot like yours when you understand that you've put him first. You say, it's a real simple question. And here's two prayers that you can pray to get confident about this. Because I don't want to make it seem flippant or dismissive or unimportant to hear God, okay? Because it really, really is. It really is. But it's as important to hear God in you. That's huge. two prayers that David prayed that we just read down in verse 12. David prayed for his son Solomon. And the prayer that he prayed, he said, may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding. Pray for wisdom. I'm going to add to it. You're going to get a bonus that the other services didn't because it just came up that I saw. Wisdom and understanding. They're not the same thing. If they were the same thing, it'd be redundant for him to use the word and. Wisdom and understanding. It's really, really a powerful thing. Wisdom is kind of like knowing what to do, and understanding is the application of what you know. An understanding of it. See, now, let me help you see this in my own life. I have zero understanding when it comes to carburetors, timing belts, anything to do with a vehicle. How many of you are in that crew with me? You have no clue about that. Like your furthest point of understanding is you know where the fuel goes and you know where the wiper fluid goes. That's like it, right? Okay? Like, that's all I know. I don't have any understanding in that area. But it's interesting when you get around people who have understanding, how simple they can make something that's complex to you and how they can fix that problem. Wisdom and understanding. Pray for wisdom and understanding. God, I want to know what the wise thing to do is over these next few weeks. I want to know what my part is, but I want to be wise about it, and I want to understand what this decision is about. I want that wisdom to know. There's one thing that I found helps with wisdom. The proverb writer says this, if you want to be wise, hang out with wise people. In other words, wise people hang out with wise people. Knuckleheads hang out with knuckleheads. You want to be a bigger knucklehead? Find more knuckleheads. They're easy to find. Trust me, all right? Wise people, they're difficult to find. You want to know why? Because they're selective with their time. Because they don't want to put their effort and energy into someone who isn't going to take the advice that they are giving to them. They don't want to do that. And so if you want to be more wise, ask for wisdom, but also find you some wise people and hang out with them and learn from them the best you can. See, some of my best ideas are not my ideas. It's the ideas of the people that I've surrounded myself with. How many think the porch is a good idea? The porch out front. It's more than three of you should think that's a good idea. That's a really great idea. It wasn't my idea. Somebody else's idea. They said, let's do this. It was Daryl's idea, and he said, this is what we should do, and that idea evolved. There was wisdom and understanding that he had. Listen, how many of you know this? You can only do so much at one time. So you don't have to have wisdom and understanding in every area, just in the areas you need. And then surround yourself with those people who can take the ball and run with it and make those things happen. Like, that's what I'm working on in my, how would you apply this? If you have children, apply that to your children. Like, I'm working really hard to get all of my children out of the liability column and into the asset column. You know what that means? Helping them to think for themselves and getting them to do things. You know what a liability is? You know what a help is, regardless of a person's age? You know what the biggest help to me is? Having someone in my world that knows what needs to be done without being told. That's a wise person. Who knows what needs to be done without being told? They just get it done. So if you want to get clear about what's in your heart, get some wisdom, get some understanding, and get around people who have that. Second prayer that you can pray during this season, and I hope becomes a habit, an addiction in your life. Verse 15, David said this, moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance. Prayer number one, pray for wisdom and understanding. Prayer number two, pray for God to send the right people who are skilled in that area. How many know there are right relationships and there are wrong relationships? And you need to emphasize and focus your energy on the right ones and not let the ones that suck the life out of you to become more prominent and dominant in your life. See, listen, I had a phone call with an individual, and they had all these outreach things that were in their heart to do, and it was just a really preliminary conversation. And they said, now, which one of these outreach programs do you and the church want to be a part of? And I said, none. Not one of them. They said, you don't believe in outreach? Oh, yeah, I believe in outreach. I believe in outreach like you wouldn't even believe. Like, I mean, I believe in outreach. They don't know that it was my idea to drop 50,000 eggs on a football field out of a helicopter to reach out to people. I mean, I believe in outreach. They said, well, what would be keeping you from moving forward? I said, one thing, I don't know if this is a right relationship. You're a good person, a great person. But how do you know you're not meant to do life with every single person that you meet? Somebody say amen to that. That's a gift from God right there, you know, to know I don't have to have a relationship with every person that crosses my path. Pray for the right people to be in your world. Pray for the right people. And if they're not the right people, that doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means life is too short to use energy and time and emotions on someone who doesn't get you and you don't get them. One of the things that makes MLC great is we get one another. We get the mission. We get the vision. We get the goals. We understand why we're doing what we're doing. It's to engage the world around us, to equip people, to encourage people, to reach people for Christ. It's absolutely incredible. I want Daniel to come and help me. If you pray these two prayers and then join us in this prayer journey over the next 40 days, I want to make sure you know exactly what you're being asked to do. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about believing. We're going to talk about sacrifice. We're going to talk about surrender. One of the weeks, we're going to have a young couple who are pastor of a church in Pataskala. They're going to be here during this series, and we're going to model this. I believe with all my heart that when you sow seed, you reap a harvest. It's a law. And so we as a church, we're not just going to talk about being generous. We're going to be generous. And that couple's coming. They're going to tell us a little bit about what they're doing. And they have a need in their children's area. And we're going to sow a financial seed, the largest financial seed our church has ever sown. We're going to sow into their life. We've already have it set aside. We're not going to ask you to give special for it. You've already given. And it's reserved for them. Someone says, well, shouldn't we be saving that for our own need? No. Listen. Sacrifice. We could use it, but we're sacrificing it. We're going to be generous. We're going to put their needs ahead of our needs. That's what sacrifice is. And God promises when you put His house's needs above your house's needs, your house will be taken care of every single time. You do not have to worry. You do not have to fret. He will take care of you every single time. Every single time. There's a TV show called The Voice. How many of you love The Voice? Oh, yeah, a lot. See, the other crowds, they were real reserved and holy, and nobody even acted like they knew what it was. It took me 10 minutes to explain it. The Voice is a TV show that's around vocal talent. And then a contestant comes on the platform, and all of the judges have their back turned to the contestant. And all they have to go by is what they hear. And if they like what they hear, they hit this button and their chair swivels around, and then they get to see who they connected with. They get to have a face with a voice. One of the most amazing things about our church is this: we have a voice, and a whole bunch of people are hitting their buzzer, turning their seat around, connecting with who we are as a church because of the compassion and the goodness and the life that is flowing from this church, which is you. It's you. Flowing from you. Saying you've got to experience this more life that I've experienced. And here's what this spiritual journey is going to let us do. Here's what this facility at the end of this journey is going to let us do. It's going to allow us to amplify our voice so that more people have an opportunity to hit their buzzer and say, I need a chair. I need space. I need this message. I need this life that God wants me to have. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And I just want to pray over everybody here. I know we've talked about quite a bit more than usual about what's coming up, but listen, it's necessary that we all are on the same page and know where we're going as a church. I want to pray over you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person in this place, from the youngest to the oldest. And here's what I ask, that you would give each person whose heart is open and receptive, you give them wisdom and understanding. They can see exactly what the hope of your calling is. Father, give them courage and strength to obey what they hear you say, to let their faith be active, and to resist the temptation for it to be silent, to resist the temptation for them to push it off to another moment or another time, to push them off that position. Lord, I pray for every person that calls us their church home, that each person would participate as fully as you're calling them to participate. It may even be scary what you're asking us to do as individuals. But Lord, we say we are strong and we are of good courage. Lord, I thank you for wisdom and understanding to know the difference. And I ask, Lord, that you would continue to send the right people, the right relationships, the lifters, not the leaners, into each and every person's life in this place. And I give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, let me hear you shout amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.